Hello there. I scheduled this Facebook Live and then I completely forgot how to get online. I don't know what happened. I haven't done a Facebook Live for a while, so I guess I thought I could do it via my computer. And then, anyway, if you're waiting for me, I apologize. I think I'm only a minute late. But thank you for joining me. Fancy meeting you here in Utrecht. In Holland. I'm actually here doing a series of talks and also celebrating the launch of a book in Dutch. This is my second book in Dutch. I'll show you. It is The Idolatry of God, although in Dutch it says Addicted to God. I think it's very, very cool. So last night we were celebrating, having drinks and all of that, having a little party. But I'm kind of out of the way of doing these, and I want to get back into it. And these Facebook Lives are important to me, and I want to try and do one at least once a week. And I've got lots of things I want to talk about. But before I say that, I'll just let you know what I've been up to. Currently back in Northern Ireland for a while. I've got my festival coming up in a few weeks. The festival actually sold out 6 months ago. But we've had four people who can't go, so we're trying to sell their tickets so we can give them their money back. So if you've wanted to go to Wake and you weren't quick enough to get a ticket, you can actually get one. But I know it's pretty short notice now. But I'm really excited about that. This is going to be the 5th year, and we've got like 80 people this year, and we had to cap it at that. We actually could have grown to 120, but we want to keep it, relatively small. So we've been, planning that for a while. I'm excited. It's all about the absurd, and there's going to be art and music and talks, and hopefully it should be lots of fun. Who's going to be there? My friend Miranda, whose house this is, Miranda and Johannes. Miranda's going to be there. She's talking about festivals and absurdist art, Dadaism. We've got the philosopher Jeff Robbins. We've got the sociologist Gladys Ganell. We have Padraig Ó Tuama, the wonderful poet and singer-songwriter. Then we've got various artists and comedians and musicians, Duke Special, Paul Curry, all of that. Anyway, oh, another thing, if you like these talks of mine and you want the kind of the more in-depth version, you can always join my Pyro seminars. Pyro seminars, they cost $5 a month, unfortunately, on my Patreon, but you've got to support my drug habit some way. I mean, I can't be in LA and not take a lot of cocaine, so that costs money. It's not free. So if you want to support me, it means the world to me, and you can go onto my Patreon and say for $5, you can sign up, and then once a month, you'll get an in-depth talk, an hour and a half long. I'm actually bought new equipment, so it'll be very good quality audio, very good quality visual. You can watch live, or you can listen or watch after the fact. The one that I'm doing on the 15th of April is on the film Prometheus. I'm going to look at Alien, and I'm going to look at how Alien can help us understand what Freud meant by the death drive, as well as the theological concept of sin. What that means, and a little bit of an exploration into kind of like the human condition, because interestingly, what we discover in Prometheus is the origin of the alien, and that origin is a beautiful cinematic reflection of something very central to the human condition. So you want to join me, join my Patreon. I'll see you on the 15th of April. I'm going to also try to have little snippets of the movie that we can talk about. But anyway, what do I want to talk about today? Well, I've been reading the work of Todd McGowan recently. He's an author that I really enjoy. And he had some really interesting insights into our political system. And one of the things he says about our economic system today is that it gives us, or it promises us what we want, and it gives us what we need, right? And this, because he's trying to understand what is the power of this economic system that we participate in, that means even though it can be damaging to us, we still seem to be so committed to it. And he says, it promises what we want, so there's a power in that, and it gives us what we need. And what does he mean by that? Well, he says what we want is satisfaction. And that's what we're promised. You know, the American dream. You can have what you need in order to enjoy life. You can be whole and complete. You can have that oceanic experience. You can sit by the beach. You earn enough money. You have enough things. You go out with the right person, whatever it is. Then, you know, you can be satisfied. So that's what we want, he argues. And there's various reasons why he argues that. But it gives us what we need. And what is it that we need? Well, Todd McGowan, who's a good Lacanian, says, well, what we need is need. What we need is lack. Now, why do we as human beings need lack? Well, partly because lack is what allows us to desire. You know, whenever you don't have something and you want it, you gets you out of bed in the morning. It gets you motivated, whether, you know, you want to lose weight, whether you want to get fit, whether you want to, you know, get over your job and get something else. So whatever it is, desire involves a certain lack. It involves a certain not having. And that's central to being human, something I've explored in other Facebook Lives and in my books. So you'll know this if you followed my work for a while, that to be human is to experience a certain need or lack in our lives. And we try to run from that, but actually it can be a productive thing. So what's his problem then with the system? Well, the system promises what we want, but gives us what we need. But it gives us what we need in a way that we don't like. So need, lack is always something we want to get rid of. The system gives us that, but it in a way that is oppressive to us and destructive to us, in a way that makes us want to run from it. So we get this lack in a very destructive way, very physically destructive ways, in the sense of people are in poverty, people cannot afford housing, they cannot afford education, they can't afford healthcare. So they get this need in a way that is actually materially destructive and also psychologically destructive. You know, where we always feel that we're missing out. We're not going to the right parties. We're not having the lifestyle that we would want, that there's something in our lives that just isn't working. So there are material and psychological, you know, a trauma connected to this need. So the alternative, you could say this, you could say that the alternative is, how could you have a system that gives you what you need in a way that you want it, in a way that is satisfying? Which means, how is it possible to create a system where we embrace our lack? We find it actually something that is motivating, that's something that we can turn into a fuel for further transformation, that we can sublimate, you know, into something beautiful. So in some respects, we get what we need, which is lack, but in a way that we want, which is in a way that satisfies us. Weirdly, we're satisfied in our dissatisfaction. We enjoy our dissatisfaction. Now, previously, I've talked about this in relation to Camus and the rebel. The rebel is the person who turns their dissatisfaction into a form of satisfaction. They enjoy the very act of rebellion. They enjoy their engagement with the world. They enjoy their movement and transformation and fighting for the good without any sense that that fight will sometimes end. Because in a sense, what they love is they love the struggle itself. Just like whenever you enjoy sports, it's not you're not enjoying the fact that your team wins. Of course you enjoy when your team wins, but it's also about being with them when they lose. It never ends. Like, sports teams live forever. They just keep going. And if you're, you know, nobody ever wins football. Like, nobody ever wins the actual game football. Football just keeps on going. But you enjoy the highs and the lows and being with your team throughout the struggle and seeing your team get slowly better, etc., etc. So in the same way, this is how I think about church and religion, that I think religious Christianity promises us what we want and gives us what we need. It promises satisfaction, wholeness and completeness in this life or in the next life, right? That you can be whole and complete. But it gives us what we need, which is need. In other words, you end up not getting that. And that actually then, you know, you start striving for the satisfaction and whatever. But the problem is it gives you what you need in a way that you don't want, right? It gives you that sense of lack and not having in a way that is oppressive to you, in a way that is struggling. So you do more extreme forms of spiritual practice. You give away all your money, you burn your record collection, you fast, you read the Bible standing on one leg while rubbing your tummy and patting your head, whatever it is that they say, to get that satisfaction that always seems so elusive. But what I'm interested in and what I've been exploring with some individuals is how do we create a liturgical structure that gives you what you need in a way that you want? Which means that the liturgical structure gives you doubt, complexity, ambiguity, mystery. It gives you unknowing in a way that is enjoyable, in a way that is satisfying and fun, and something that sparks action, something that sparks transformation, but you're not always looking for the satisfaction. You actually enjoy living in the unknowing itself. And that's what paratheology is about in its technology, in its liturgical dimension. It's about helping us find what we need in a way that we want, finding a certain satisfaction and enjoyment in the space of the radical unknowing, turning that into something that is positive and good. So yeah, there you go. There's just some reflections on the idea of want and need. Is there anything else I want to say on that? You feel free to ask questions. I realize that the timing of this means that many of the people who watch me usually are in bed sleeping or should be in bed sleeping. I don't know how to see if we've got comments or questions. Oh yeah, we've got lots of things being said. Hello. Oh, you know, the comments aren't really working. Ah, that's weird. Every time I scroll down to read what you're saying, it bounces me back up to the top. All right, well, I'm heading back home and then I'm going to, you know, do a few more of these. As I say, I'm not going to bother uploading this onto my YouTube channel because I don't think it's that good. In fact, I might redo this because as I say, I couldn't put it on my computer and I'm holding this phone in my hand, so you may think that I've spent a lot of money to create an effect that looks like the camera's shaking, but no, that is actually just my hand. I will be writing a little bit about this idea of want and need. But yeah, if you want to actually kind of engage with me at a deeper level, join me on the 15th of April for the talk on Prometheus. And otherwise, I will see you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.